Did you press record?
I did.
There's a note here. Guess we forgot on the last. Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the March 6, 2023 regular session of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting at 5 p.m. If you wish to address the commission on any items on this agenda, including call to audience, please complete a blue speaker card located on the agenda table at the side of the room over here to my left. Please include what you wish to discuss, filling out the blue speaker card completely. Once finished, please hand it to the recording secretary. As the agenda item comes up, I will invite you to speak at the appropriate time. Ms. Tolman, may I have the roll call?
Commissioner Bozeman is absent. Commissioner Sells?
Present.
Commissioner Paul?
Present.
Commissioner Pliego?
Present.
Commissioner Scanlon?
Present.
Chair Lee?
Present.
Chair Lee, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Tolman. I will now open call to audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. The commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. So I've got a number of cards here, 5, 6 blue cards, and I'll start with the one that's most difficult to read right off the bat here. K is the first initial and
German.
K German. Would you state your name, and if you're a town resident, for the record, you have 3 minutes.
And if you could use the podium. Thank you.
Kathleen German, 655 West High Concordia. I own Blue Banner Farm, and I am a resident of Oral Valley. I have our Homeowners Association of Campobello. I have a friend who's working on getting some research about the history of Campobello. She currently lives in one of the original ranch homes of the Hardy Ranch, which is what Campobello is. And I'm here with this particular group to please address the issue of the church expansion. And if they go through with the expansion, we're really going to lose the rural agricultural, agriculturalness of the neighborhood. We had a meeting this today, and there are over 157 horses in the Campobello and Linda Vista citrus tracts area. And the increased traffic that this building and expansion will bring is going to literally ruin the whole nature of our area. The traffic is bad. You guys have all, I mean, everybody in the town has heard all of the reasons, the traffic, the noise, the lighting. But there is, a real need to preserve some of these areas that are historic to the Tucson and Oral Valley area. And I really hope that you will consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the next card I have here is Mr. Tarek. Sir, if you would state your name, and if you are a town resident for the record, you have 3 minutes.
We have some absent guests out there. Committee members, thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. My name is Tim Terrace. I'm an Oro Valley resident. I'm representing a neighborhood group known as the Concordia Buena Vista Group, the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene, 500 West Concordia, is requesting a rezone of their property to expand significantly. Our group opposes that expansion. With that in mind, our purpose here is to highlight the guidelines, and yes, this is heavy, Oro Valley General Plan, Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan, and the Rock Art Ranch and Residence Report. So if you need any light reading, there it is. Those of us here tonight, some of our neighbors here, we live in Linda Vista Citrus Estates, tract number 2. That goes across and encompasses, you can see by the map, the blue. That's where we live. It goes over to El Morocco, and it goes clear up into where Arcidio High School is. We're bordered on all sides, as you can see, by Oro Valley Estates, Campobello, Shadow Mountain Estates, and Shadow Mountain Estates East. All of these areas are addressed in the aforementioned plans and report. They're basically centered on the intersections of Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista and include the original site of the beginning of the town of Oro Valley. We request that this body review these documents and forward to the town council and the planning and zoning office your explanation and compliance as it pertains to our Oro Valley cultural heritage. We believe a rezone in this particular instance would have a permanent and damaging effect on the town and its history. Please help me with this. We are all neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan. Our next card is from Ms. Rainwater. Would you please state your name and if you are a town resident for the record? You have 3 minutes.
My name is Robin Rainwater. I am a town resident. I live on Calle Buena Vista. I am also opposed to the rezoning of Oro Valley Church of Nazarene. My house is one of those in Shadow Mountain Estates. It was built originally in 1959. My parents bought this house. I grew up there. I rode the bus from the roundabout down to Amby High, Amby Junior High. So afterwards I left, but my husband and I have now come back and we own the house. We are totally opposed to having any additional lighting, any additional traffic, any additional noise. We are in total agreement with the people from Campobello and all the other areas that are surrounded by the corner of Calle Concordia and Calle Buena Vista. We would like to have our property, Shadow Mountain Estates, become a historic property so that we can be hopefully prevented from this expansion of the church taking place. There are a number of houses in there that have been there and were built prior to 1959. Long before Oro Valley ever came into existence. So we would like to have the Preservation Committee give us the opportunity to become a historic area and preserve our property as such. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Rainwater. The next card I have is for Mr. Fagan. If you would please state your name, and if you're a town resident for the record, you have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Tim Fagan. I am a resident of Oro Valley. I want to give you just some perspective on this area from and my history. I'm a fourth generation Arizonan. I was born and raised in Phoenix in an area that's similar to Linda Vista citrus tracts. We had outstanding mountain views to the east. It was sparsely populated, and adjacent on our north was a citrus orchard. Even through high school, I could saddle my horse, ride past a few houses, and look off over Paradise Valley, which I watched grow from several houses to the city of Scottsdale. When I was in second grade, my father went back to school at the U of A. We lived in the Quonset huts that were married student housing, just north of where the College of Medicine now stands. But we had half a Quonset hut. My mother kept her horse by the Rito River and rode up into the basically undeveloped foothills of the Catalina Mountains. I returned to Tucson in 1981 as a faculty member of the College of Medicine. After a few years, we purchased a house in the historic Linda Vista citrus tracts at 360 West Linda Vista, where I kept the stallion that I got when he was 3 months old and I was 14. In 1991, my wife and I built our house on 3.3 acres at 9510 North Calle Buena Vista. I kept my stallion, and four generations descended from him until the last one died. This has been a historic neighborhood, perhaps not officially, since its founding. That heritage and the lifestyle that accompanies it must be maintained for future generations. The OVC and rezoning and building must not be allowed. The sports ministries, which I support, can be built elsewhere in Oro Valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fagan. The next card I have is from Ms. Topmiller. Please state your name, and if you are a town resident for the record, you have 3 minutes.
My name is Mary Topmiller. I am Oro Valley town resident. My husband and I live on Calle Buena Vista for more than 30 years, as my husband just so eloquently told you about. The thoughts that I have tonight are the same things that everybody has already said, but we were drawn to this property because it was Cole's property. It was zoned for no more than one house for 3.3 acres, and it's a beautiful location, and we love the way it is now, this rural suburban ambiance that's created by the aforementioned qualities. As all of you already know, Oro Valley was incorporated at 1974 with only 2.4 square miles, and the original center of the town is where we're located right now, so I feel like, you know, we're right in the middle of the very beginning. In addition, as was already mentioned by Kathy, there are multiple horse facilities in our small area that is the beginning of Oro Valley, with housing, and I didn't know this, more than 150 horses, and it's about half a mile from our home, which is amazing to me. We see horses all the time up and down the roads, pulling carts, also lots of dog walkers, just a lot of activity that is supported by the way the neighborhood is right now. So I sincerely believe that the historic nature of our community should be preserved, and I would urge you all to lend your voices to the town council and planning and zoning, and that they not consider the, or vote no for the rezoning of the OVC. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Topmiller. The last card I have is from Mr. Loomis. Sir, would you please state your name if you're a town resident for the record? You have 2 minutes.
Good evening. I'm Paul Loomis, and I'm a resident of Oro Valley. I'm speaking tonight as an individual. Last month, I talked about the HPC's function and your task to advise the mayor and council about historic preservation. Tonight, I'll talk about one item now and one item on number three, late when you get to that. Work on the bunkhouses and the garage at Steampunk Ranch is scheduled to start soon. The Oro Valley Historical Society was told to take what they wanted, and that the remainder of the items in the bunkhouses, Carlos's house, and the Proctor Lieber house would then be salvaged and thrown away. As part of the call for help moving items, Pat Spurl, one of the Society's founders and a past member of the HPC, sent an email to the volunteers helping to save possible historic items. And I'd like to quote from that email. I quote, "I have some background information that may be useful as the OVHS initiates examining and saving items stored in the Steampunk Ranch buildings. In 2008, the Oro Valley town manager asked Dan Zweiner and me, both archaeologists and both members of the Historic Preservation Commission, to monitor the town's cleanup of tons of stuff left behind at the ranch by the Lieber family, in case there might be items of historic value. We identified a jukebox, late 1940s, and two pianos, mainly so they could be used in future exhibits in a renovated Proctor Lieber house. We also identified items that, while not necessarily historically important, could be used for historical exhibits in the Proctor Lieber house, bunkhouses, garage, for example, music books, baseball-related items. In 2015, the OVHS Collections Committee cleaned an inventory for the town, small items that had been saved, mainly from the chicken coops. Sue and Pat gave a presentation to the HPC about them in 2016. We also did a preliminary assessment report. If I remember correctly, we thought most of the glass dishes, etc., weren't historically important, but Proctor's ledgers from the El Presidio Hotel were, items that were originally stored in the bunkhouses. Sue likely knows more about them. The most significant things we found during the 08-09 cleanup were the contents of Jack Proctor's safety deposit box, stuffed in a cardboard box in the garage building. Betty Lieber's photo album found on the floor of the chicken coops, miscellaneous items from Hank Lieber's baseball career, and the Proctor family documents. They were all scanned by OVHS during 2010 and 2011 in partnership with the town of Oro Valley and put in the basement of Town Hall. If you have any questions about the stored junk or otherwise, I'll see what else I might remember. I hope that if anything kept by the OVHS will be able to be used. Two pictures attached. And those are the first two pictures on the handout I gave you. And that's the end quote. The following pictures were taken Saturday afternoon on March 4th, and showing the condition of the jukebox, the player piano, and the upright piano. Unfortunately, this is how the town preserved these future exhibits. The upright piano dates from between the 1900s and 1930s. The jukebox is 1940s time frame. And you'll see those two pictures that I handed out. Finally, the commission needs to investigate the status and condition of the material stored in the town hall basement. Hopefully the materials are still there, safely stored, and available for future displays. As I said last month, you need to become advocates for the town's historic sites. You are the town's appointed advocates. You need to decide if our historic sites should be entertainment centers or historical educational parks that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. You need to establish a commission position and lobby for that position. Thank you for your attention and for all you do for the town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Don't appear to have any more cards. I will now close call to audience. Council members, Solomon, do you have anything to report today?
Yes, I have a few things I'd like to say. I think they'll be appropriate and I'm allowed to say them, but I'm sure Tony will let me know if they're not. Of course, if he doesn't, I can comment on how I've seen this presentation how many times. This is actually goes into line with some comments at the last meeting. No remaining called any audience and some today. It was discussed about what the charter of this commission is. And what I want to express is the commission members may not be aware of the fact that you folks can take the initiatives. You don't have to just look at what staff brings up or if somebody happens to mention something or call to the audience. You can look at the involvement of other commissions that we have, Parks and Rec. They're deciding details of skate parks, whether there should be one or not. We have several significant historic properties. Obviously, the two most, Steam Pump and Honeybee Village Archaeological Preserve. Those are areas and perhaps other areas where you folks, particularly if you have an interest in an area, is to start to become more proactive and say, we should be looking at this. And obviously the procedure would be to put it as a future agenda item, and then it can be legally discussed. There have been some great ideas that have come up the last few months in this commission. They've talked about, should we start bringing the Escorian, horse culture back to Steam Pump Branch. Is that feasible? Or the, the Buffalo Soldiers actually were part of Steam Pump Branch. I mean, those are, very interesting and significant things. But this commission can certainly take the lead on. And believe me, it's complete coincidence. The other thing that this commission has looked at sometimes is the historic homes and neighborhood destinations. It's pretty complex, and it's really, from what I recall, it's the homeowners that need to do this. The town doesn't say you're now a historic property because of all the implications in that.
Most people don't want to be a historic property because of all the restrictions. People don't, you know. So that might be another area that you could be looking at. And really not a lot has ever come from that, once again, because when most neighborhoods and meetings and homeowners realize the large amount of restrictions that come with it versus the perceived benefits, and we've actually had cases with modifications in Oro Valley Country Club at a house that had that. And actually, from what I recall, I don't even remember if that came through Historic Preservation Commission. It went through Board of Adjustments, which I'm also on, and it was discussed. So,
it did, right?
Okay. Wow, I haven't. Is anything wrong yet?
Well, let me continue.
Kelvin gives a lot of leeway. So those are my comments. You folks, you've got a great commission here, and you certainly don't have to wait for things. You certainly can take the initiative, and you know, as has been said, you know, we steampunk branch, and that is an overall issue and small issue. Before, the town never had money to do anything here. So it's kind of a moot point. Well, you know, seems that we do have money these days. So those are all good things. So anyway, so thanks very much. And that's, I know each one of you are very talented and have a lot of different interests. And that's why this commission is kind of unique, because I've sat on, you know, other commissions where you ask people why they want to be there. And it's never anything like this. It's almost always, I really enjoy history. I've got a passion for preservation. And there's such diverse backgrounds and interests that together, I think this commission can really make some great contributions to the town. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Solomon. Now, Ms. Sloan, if Ms. Sloan's here, she's going to give the Historical Society update.
It's just Devin.
Thank you, Devin.
Commissioners and town staff, thank you very much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. First of all, I'd like to thank the town for giving us the opportunity to go through the Proctor Eber House, the bunk houses, and the barbecue at Steampunk Ranch to see if there were items. And as Paul said, there certainly were. And we'll figure out what to do with them and where to put them, but we will take care of them properly. And more thanks to the town for asking us to be included in the programming for seniors, as well as providing input for the 10-year general plan. And we look forward to hearing from the town about being able to use some storage space in the old garage and their new offices for smaller items in our collection. We're going to be working on the 2018 license agreement with the town that addresses use of the property, the Heritage Garden, and the tack room so that we can start planning for the future. We agree with Paul Lewis's statement last month at this meeting about the town's use of the steam pump property, which we acknowledge that they own, but want to reiterate our concern for some of the property changes and use. The use and restoration of the property have rather specific details under the deed of preservation easement and intergovernmental agreement between the town and Pima County from 2006 and adopted by the town via resolution on April 16, 2008. Speaking of the garage, we were fortunate to be able to have Jim Williams, who's past president of the Oro Valley Historical Society, give a presentation of the steampunk ranch to the employees who will be working from that office, so that if visitors to the ranch are there when the society is not, they would have some knowledge of what happened there before any of us were around. And speaking of talks, we hosted another one at the library featuring Alan DeNoyer with Archaeology Southwest discussing the early agricultural period in Southwest Arizona. And both of those talks are on our website if you're dying to see them. The next one we have coming up is on March 13th at 2 p.m. featuring Oro Valley resident and author Jan Clear, who will present Following the Bugle, Military Wives in Arizona. That adds to our celebration of Women's History Month. As you may know, our season for the Society is September through April, and since September, We posted a little more than 1,700 visitors at the Push House Museum and given tours of the property. Last program year, we had a total of almost 1,600 visitors. We also had two private tours with three more scheduled. So even though we end in April, we're definitely interested in accommodating visitors at any time with advance reservation and a small donation. We must admit that we were happy to hear that we had a very successful wine festival held last month at the ranch. That event will be held at James Creek Park next year. Folks were definitely more interested in wine than history that Saturday. With regard to volunteer hours, those numbered more than 500 throughout the season, which doesn't include a team of 10 volunteers who began planning our fundraiser in November, which was held on February 19th and was very successful. We'd like to thank Mr. Paul and his wife for attending and adding to that success. We received many raffle and silent auction donations along with monetary donations from local companies and individuals. Wynn Brown's discussion about Sarah Plummer Lemon was informative and fascinating, and during the month of Women's History was a nice intro to help us celebrate. Our current exhibit at the Push House celebrates Women's History Month and is entitled Oro Valley Wonder Women. Next month, we will celebrate at Oro Valley becoming a town on April 15th when Pima County said yes, and 17th when the mayor and town were installed in 1974. Hopefully you all have been enjoying the articles in OB Style magazine, which the Society has been invited to submit on a monthly basis beginning last December. They included the completion restoration of the Push House at the ranch in December 2010, the opening of the Oro Valley Golf Country Club golf course in January 1959, our February fundraiser last month, and this month the discovery of gold in the Catalina Mountains in 1875. We also provide them with a calendar of our activities. And now we have some questions. There's a concrete sculpture at the entrance to Oro Valley Country Club Estates on Greenock. Unlike the two folks before me, I didn't provide copies for all of you, so Mr. Seibels, if you could just pass that around. An Oro Valley Estates homeowner, Tracy Alexander, whose home was designated a historical landmark by this commission, in 2020 contacted us at the request of the country club to see about having that sculpture moved to the entrance of the club. We've researched it and can find nothing about who owns it, not even the land it's on, and if indeed it can be moved without harm to that art. It looks like it's concrete. So, might that be something the HPC would like to tackle? And then the second question, we're curious about the ADOT brown and white sign on the steampunk property and if there's been any movement towards its movement to a more visible location. So, that's what we've been up to since the last time we were permitted to present to you. Thanks for this opportunity. If you want to know more about us, feel free to Google obhistory.org. History loves company. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, review and approval of the February 6th, 2023 meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion? I move to approve the February 6th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes. May I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, did you get? It was Commissioner Pliego. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. For the regular session, item number one, training and possible discussion regarding open meeting law, conflict of interest, and HPC responsibilities. Mr. Seidels.
Thank you, Chair. First off, how many of you had your open meeting law training?
All right. That means I can run through it pretty fast.
So this is a refresher.
This is the refresher course. Even though it's the same presentation, it will be a refresher course.
You have 3 minutes.
I wish. Thank you so much. Well, and now it's not going forward. Oh, wait. Let's.
There you go.
Yay! Okay, basic municipal law. As you know, we're a municipality, Oro Valley, which means we are granted basically status as a town by the state of Arizona, which means we have to follow the state laws. So guess what? There's a lot of state laws we have to follow. Those are the public records laws, conflict of interests, and open meeting laws. I'm trying to get this to stay. It's not really staying very well. So the purpose of the open meeting laws is to protect the public, to build trust between government and its citizens, but mostly to protect you. All right? It avoids exclusion. It helps you adequately prepare and avoid being blindsided because of the agendas. You know what's going to happen just in case you didn't get a memo, any of those other things, and to memorialize what happened in the minute. So, what are the statutory basics? The agendas, everything has to be properly posted. The agenda has to be specific enough, and that's where we get into problems every now and then. It has to be done in public, which is the most important part, and we have to keep minutes. Sorry, it's taking longer to click than to talk about it. So, what does the state law say about our call to the audience? Oh, thank you.
Use the arrows.
Yes, thank you. That will help. So, are we required to have a call to the audience? No. We are not required to have a call to the audience. That's what something people don't realize. The thing about Oro Valley is we like to be very open, and we always have call to the audiences whenever we have any of our commission meetings, our council meetings, or anything else. We're allowed to have it, but you're not required to have it under the law. Okay, what constitutes the basic legal rights of all citizens for council or commission meetings? What do they get to do? Well, you know, they don't get to have a quality audience. So basically, they can attend, they can listen to the proceedings, they can audio tape you, and they can videotape you. Of course, we already do that most of the time, but nevertheless, just in case something goes wrong, they're allowed to do that for you, all right? But that is basically what the rights are. And that's something most people don't realize. It's actually very limited what it is. But as I said, Oro Valley doesn't follow that. Oro Valley goes way beyond what the minimum requirements of state law. So they don't get to interrupt. They don't get to give their opinions. And yet we allow that all the time. And I'm very happy that we do. I think it's better democracy. So let's go to the basics of the meetings. What constitutes a meeting? Any gathering of a quorum of the members where they discuss, propose, or take legal actions. And the term meeting is to be construed very broadly. That will be the theme throughout this. It's very broad. Public body includes the council, all boards, commissions, advisory committees, anything else. So if four of you attend, let's say, a historical society meeting, and you talk about something that might end up here in the future, is that a problem?
Could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what is a meeting? Well, for example, that would be considered a proposal. You see what I'm saying on that one? If you're talking about it and it's something that might come in front of you, it would be a proposal. So you shouldn't be talking about it. You can attend, you can listen to it, but don't talk about it, okay? When you go to those meetings. So I think we need another historic signposted steam pump would be considered a proposal, right? So even if it's only a one-way communication and there are no other board members reply. So if somebody sent an email that said that, to all of you, guess what? That's a proposal. Can't do that. You got to do it here and put it on an agenda.
Well,
yeah.
They can send the email. We just can't reply.
Yeah. Well,
we didn't. If we don't solicit an email, right?
You can't reply.
Yeah.
But what we would prefer you do is bring it to the meeting and say, let's put that on a future agenda.
I guess I was covering the part you said. If someone else, not us, send us like I didn't ask for this, but they're sending it. I just, as long as I don't reply, I'm covered, right?
So, yeah. Okay. And what would happen is usually the attorneys would call that person up and say, "Hey, why don't you put that on an agenda so that's in front of everybody?" If that happened, okay. So, training questions: which organizations are subject to the open meeting law? The legislature? How about the golf course operators, you know, and charities? Are the local homeowners associations or this board of commission? Which one is subject to open meeting law?
D.
The board of commission. But the HOA is not?
The HOA is not.
Oh.
So HOA is not a state agency or a political subdivision, which is what that applies to. Now, they have their own set of rules under state statutes, but it is that doesn't fall under this one, and they're a different set of rules, okay? And, of course, the legislature exempted themselves. They do have a set of rules they follow, but it's not this. And the open meeting law really only applies to state governments, which is the counties, municipalities, school boards, and fire districts. So congratulations, your select group, all right?
Lucky
so applies to you, nobody else. So back to the meetings. Meetings can be in person or through technological devices, and you can't decide something illegally through polling. You can't use staff or friends to circumvent the law. In other words, if you want to take a poll on everybody else fell, you had your friend go over and ask one of them, another friend go ask it, you'd still be in trouble with the agency's office, okay? So, council, commission member texts another member about the money being allocated to restore a steam pump, which has signs that don't seem to fit the requirements. You guys actually put out requirements for certain types of signs that you'd like to put up, like at some of the homes and stuff. They have to be a certain shape, they have to be a certain size. Just assuming theoretically something like that happened at Steam Pump, where you said it had to be a triangle at least 10 inches wide and ended up being a circle, it was only 8 inches wide, and you wanted to deal with that, okay, fine. But the problem is you can't remember exactly what you decided, which is something that happens to me all the time. So you start asking around. If you start asking around, and the first person calls somebody else on the commission, and they don't know, so then you call a third person, and they don't know, and then you call a friend, and the friend gives you the answer. Well, you've only got three, and that's not a quorum, right? Except then the friend goes to the workout place and talks to a fourth council member, and now you're screwed. Okay? So you got to be really careful about what you do. As I said, that four is a magic number here because this is a seven-member board.
And that was just, and that's even if we're asking about something that happened in the past.
Yeah.
Like, what was that number? We can't even discuss that.
What you were saying is, look, I think that we said that it should be a triangle that's 10 inches wide, and yet we paid for something that isn't that. Maybe we need to, talk to somebody about making sure it's done right. Okay, well, that's an item you should do here.
Got it.
Okay. So it was illegal, you don't have to participate simultaneously, and one-way communication can constitute a violation if it's something that comes in front of a commission, which is the question you asked earlier.
Remind me of that question.
If there was a proposal that was sent to all four of you, that's still a violation. That's why I said that the attorneys would be calling that person and saying, first off, none of you please respond, and then we'll say, hey, you probably got to go through a little more training. Okay? Okay, four activities that constitute the meeting. I went over this. The one that we always get into trouble is proposing an action, because that has a very, very broad definition with the AG's office. So that's the one that they're looking at the most often, a proposal of some kind. Okay, I'm going to quick zip through that. These are examples. A goes to B, B sends the email to C and D. Yeah, that's a problem. You have four, right? And this one didn't come up right, so I'm just going to quick go through it. And A goes to B, B goes to D, D goes to C, C goes back to B, and A, yeah, you still got four. If you can count to four, you got a problem. Because it's a seven-member council, and A to three others, still a problem. Now, what are acceptable emails that you get? Well, information blasts from the staff, because you ask the staff to do research. Well, the staff researches and sends it to you. They can do that. That's not a violation, okay? Just don't respond back to all with, this means we should probably do this. Yeah. Everybody, the problem is whenever you get reply all, it always comes up. When it somehow causes a problem.
I'm afraid to push reply at all now.
I know.
Yeah. You're actually better not reply. You're actually better bringing it up at the meeting. That's the whole point of the open meeting. So,
actually, our staff is very good that way. We're always blind copy, so
yeah.
We can never do that. So that's great.
Good job, staff. All right, the second point here is the one that you need a refresher on, because it's not just four. Here I've told you, don't do four, don't do four. How many of you are here right now?
Six.
There's five.
More than four, yeah.
There's only five. So what's the quorum at this meeting?
Three.
Yeah. So what happened if you send it to three and say, oh, I'm safe? You weren't, because at this meeting, the quorum was only three. So actually, what we always say is just talk to one other person. If you have to do it, just the two of you talk, and don't talk to anybody else, okay? Because you can have a meeting with four, but two people is not the majority. It's like that. It's not at the majority. So when you're discussing something about a proposal with one of your other commission members, try and keep it to just two people always. You talk to each other, don't talk to anybody else, okay?
And even later, if you've talked to that one person,
yeah,
at a later time, you can't talk to another person
you
used to, because you've already talked to them.
Until you bring it up here, and then you can talk about it all you want. So, what is the problem if you do it? Well, first off, the AG can give you fines. Anywhere from $500 to $2,500, plus attorney's fees. The biggest problem on this one is, if you go down to number three, the town cannot expend any public funds to pay your fines. You are personally responsible. So that's why you want to follow the open meeting law, all right? Because you're going to be personally responsible. If it's something that, you know, you make a mistake, that's one thing. But if you do it repeatedly, you can come in and say, okay, we're removing you from our commission. You can remove them from the council. They actually have that authority to do that with a court order. Anything taken in violation of the open meeting law is null and void, which means even if you pass something, now we've got to go back and pass it again with an open discussion. Okay? So as a general rule, don't email the entire council board or commission. These are just suggestions. Don't forward a copy to other members. And when emailing another single member of the council, just give your own thoughts. Don't say, oh, by the way, I talked to Nicole and she thought this too. You may want to include this tag language, but I understand you guys already do that, so that's pretty good. So here are the exceptions to the open meeting law. You will probably never use them at this particular group. And they're mostly for counsel. There's personal issues. There are records exempt by law. Some of those would be like our defense plans for infrastructure in case of terrorist attack. We're not going to give that out, sorry. You know, that type of thing. Legal advice, you're allowed. You might talk to me occasionally on legal advice, but usually it's not that often, at least at this group. And some of the others, like tribal negotiations, I just don't think you're going to have there eventually with this commission. So, okay. Minutes. Okay. General description. This is something that comes up, it seems, every so often with most commissions. They want more detailed minutes taken. More word-to-word, more stuff that's happening. No, they have to be general minutes according to the state law. So because of that, we work with your staff to make sure that they follow the general minute guideline as opposed to getting too specific on those.
So they're required to only be general.
They're required to only be general minutes. Okay, the big one, the conflicts of interest, bias, and the appearance of impropriety. This is the one most people do not understand. Whenever somebody gets mad at you, they'll come in and accuse you of a conflict of interest. Most people don't understand what an actual legal conflict of interest is under the state statutes. They're talking about bias. They're talking about an appearance of impropriety. This is stuff the council has said we want you to try and avoid, but it's not illegal on those. It's only the conflict of interest that's illegal under state law. So you should know what your duties are. We'll just have this kind of a conversation on this one. And your duties are set out in the town code 610.5F. I would encourage you to look at that. Go to the town website, pull up town code, go to 610.5F and section 21.9. And that tells you what your duties are, okay? I started the list here. And as you can see, I didn't even finish it. I was about halfway through and finally said, okay, I'm not going to go through all these with you because I'm sure you don't want to hear them. But as you can see, these are the duties of this particular commission: to maintain the historic property register, to recommend cultural resource conservation policies for the general plan, to main criteria to ensure fair and impartial review of the applications for certificates of appropriateness for preservation. So these are the things that you should be doing. As I said, it's not an exhaustive list. I would strongly recommend you go through and see the list of what this is. There's also the Historic Preservation Code under Article 610. You should look at that. Why is that? Because Article 610 calls to promote the educational, cultural, and economic welfare of the town. So, as you know, you would have a writing competition where you give out some awards and stuff like that. Well, that is not part of your duties before. But you should earn it into this one. Okay? So be careful how far you stretch it, but I think under this one that would cover. Can there be problems? Well, it's just common sense, which I haven't had a whole lot of complaints with this group, I'd have to be honest. So I'm assuming you all have a lot of common sense. But you represent the town of Moro Valley, and you should avoid situations where people think we're doing backroom deals. It's that simple, okay? So, and remember, under the law, you can be held personally responsible. So, what's the legal conflict of interest? It involves money, or are you getting property? Those are the only things that are actual conflicts of interest.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. So, that's what most people don't understand. It would have to involve something where you're getting money, or you're getting some kind of benefit. Otherwise, it's not a conflict of interest. It's actually a bias. I think you're biased because you feel this way or something else. So what do you need when you have a conflict? Well, the conflicts you currently exist. For example, we had a council member in the past who had an option to buy some property that the town was interested in. Well, they had an option to buy it, but they hadn't bought it or anything along those lines, so they didn't really have a conflict, although everybody kept saying, oh, he has a conflict. No, he doesn't have it. He doesn't even have any money interest in it at all at this point in time, so there is no conflict of interest. You could probably accuse him maybe of, you know, if he buys the property, then the town goes and buys the property. Yeah, sure it is, but at that point in time, it's not. There has to be substantial pecuniary financial interest, and this is where it gets fun. So it's the spouse, the child, the grandchild, the parent, the grandparent, the sibling, or the sibling's spouses.
But those not cousins.
Not cousins. And as a matter of fact, we'll get to that one in a little bit. Yeah. So it's just those people. Those are the ones you got to... Now, I know it's hard. I mean, are you going to try and keep track of the taxes of your, you know, great-grandchild or something, or, grandchild or something? That would be hard. But nevertheless, the state expects you to try and avoid any financial dealings on that. So what's the substantial pecuniary interest? And, okay, the statute's so helpful there. It says it's an interest that's not a remote interest. So as you can see, that's just the biggest help whatsoever. So what is a remote interest? Well, remote interest is less than 3% of the value of a corporation, class interest, and some other stuff. So if it's a very, very tiny amount, it probably doesn't apply. Like if it's $20 for something, for a ticket, you're probably okay. If it's $200, you should probably start working at it, okay? So what's to ask yourself? Is it money or property? Is it money affect me or my family? Is the interest me? And that whether or not it's remote interest, you don't know because it shifts. You know, you've got all these other people you've got to worry about. So we have to look at all of them at a certain point in time. So the example, commission member's grandfather owns property in Rogue Valley with a slice the town wants to acquire as part of a park trail to a historic site. And the commission wants to recommend that they pay to acquire the property and make improvements. What should the commission member do? First off, is it a conflict?
It's not happening at the moment.
No.
Because they just want to acquire it.
Right. So at this point in time, it's not a conflict. But
right.
Would it be a conflict if you think the town is going to acquire it?
So, commission member.
If this commission is going to talk about it.
Because the grandfather owns it. The commission wants to buy it. It's the commission's grandfather, and the grandfather's on the previous list.
I think it's a conflict.
People would consider that a conflict. So, what would you do? Suppose you're the person that your grandfather owns the property. What do you do? Well, first off, you got to determine if the conflict actually exists, as you said. And that's, we'll go through a whole analysis on that. How likely is this to happen? Exactly. But you have to disclose the conflict of interest at a meeting where this comes up. It's required under the law. So, Basically, what we usually do is you come to us early, at least I would hope you call the attorneys early in order to get some help with this. You call us early, we do an analysis for you. Once you do the analysis, you go to, there's a form that you can fill out that goes to the town clerk, and that you say, I think I have a conflict of interest on this. Then you go to the meeting where this is being discussed. At the meeting, you have to leave the room. When this matter comes up, leave the room. Why? Because you may say, I have a conflict, stand at the back, and or whatever, when they're discussing it, sort of thing. You could influence them, and that's the whole thing we're trying to avoid. Okay? So, don't do that, and you can get a class 4 felony and all these other things, so please don't do that. So, other problems can arise because of closer financial relationships with other organizations. Again, these aren't legal conflicts unless it's actual money going to the town, you actually getting money on it. It's not a legal conflict, but it's a bias or an appearance of impropriety, which is different. It's not illegal. It causes problems. So, does it pass the newspaper test is the advice we always give you. Okay, if somebody were to say, okay, it wasn't the grandfather, it was only the cousin, which doesn't fit into it still, how will that look in the newspaper? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and they always love this when I bring them up. Town and the Oro Valley Historical Society interact. Suppose they're coming to you saying, we want you to put in a turf and watering system all around the buildings. Of course they can come and ask you that. There's no problem with that, is there? No. But if you're a member of the society and you're paying them money for dues or something else, and then this comes in front of you, even though you're not receiving the money, the organization you're with is receiving the money, okay, that's, some people might say you might have a bias on that one. Do you have to declare conflict? No. And as a matter of fact, what you do is not the same as what you would do with a formal conflict of interest. Fill out the form, recuse, but you are allowed to recuse yourself. If you say, look, this looks bad, I'm going to recuse myself from this one. Then we still recommend you just leave so that nobody can accuse you of anything. Okay? So, just best connect town, business, anything that you think might come in front of you at an arm's length. So, here we go, essential items. The agenda, the call to the audience, which we talked about, the meetings, the executive sessions, conflicts of interest, and records. The goal is to keep the town away from the appearance of backroom deals and to promote confidence in local government. So, any questions? Okay. There you go. Thank you so much for letting us do that. We can tell the AG's office you've all had some more training. We appreciate that.
Glad there wasn't a quiz after
that. Yeah, I would have flunked.
Please don't.
So on to regular session, the regular session agenda item number 2, discussion and possible action regarding regular presentation for educational purposes at future HPC meetings. I have this one and the next one actually. So this one is, I thought it would be, it would benefit us to have someone show up regularly, say monthly, and give like a 15-minute, and this is a question I have for you, a 15-minute presentation, but how would we put it on here? Could we put it on here so that it could be, we could have a discussion also? No possible action kind of thing, but if we wanted to ask questions, that kind of thing.
We have a discussion on that.
And so whatever that's called, so do I say a presentation then?
Or? It would be a presentation and discussion, but, you know, like I said, you got to have it specific enough that the public knows what you're going to be talking about.
So presentation and just discussion then.
On blah, 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 by so and so, et cetera. Believe me, we'll work with staff if you give us names.
All right. And so the idea is to have someone come out, you know, once a month that we would like to hear from that we think would benefit us, maybe someone who knows the horse history of Oro Valley, or you know, Jim Williams, who Commissioner Scantlin has a book of his right here, but Mr. Williams, or Jan Clear, I heard you mention Jan Clear earlier, just, or even a historical society representative to come out and talk to us about something of, you know, particular interest to us or general interest, to kind of keep us in the loop and build up our knowledge base of the town and, you know, its roots and. I, like, for instance, I learned tonight that it was only 2 square miles or so, and Shadow Mountain Estates was the city center, and you know, things like that are good to know. So let me see what other note I had. Oh, and then the idea would be to just, you know, everyone takes a turn, like, lining someone up. So maybe, you know, 2 months out, maybe, you know, Commissioner Pliego, you know, has an idea for somebody, or we rotate it, or just somebody says, you know, I've got an idea for somebody to come and talk. No solid plan. I guess that's what the discussion is tonight. So if you have any thoughts or comments on that, I'd like to get something down so we can act on it maybe, or if it's just discussion tonight, then we, you know, push it out to the next month. So, thoughts?
I think it would be good to have people come in. And I like the idea, especially when a lot of the commissioners still work and stuff, is don't want to burden those that already have a burden too. So to spread it out, I think that's a good idea.
I have a thought. I have a thought that sometimes when we receive public comment that maybe we can have not particularly that person, unless that person is the expert on it, we could learn more about that. For example, when they talk about when people have talked about the church expansion, I'd like to know more about the church expansion, and maybe that'd be someone from our planning commission rather than the general public. And so I'd like to know more about that, because I personally, I have some opinions about the comments that were made, and I'd like to know.
And that's the idea. You want to invite someone in from the Planning Commission. That was one of my examples, actually, because we'd had Mr. I wish I remember his name now.
Byer-Vello.
Right. Byer-Vello, because I thought Byer was his last name, and I always get it backwards. Mr. Byer came in and spoke. And so to have, yeah, that's exactly what we're kind of talking about.
So who would we, maybe we could have that set up?
Well, and so you would do that. Okay. So you would set that up. Maybe you'd talk to Matt. Do we call you Matt in the meetings, or deputy something? And so
that's fine.
So
you guys could, have titles.
I don't want to be all formal, you know. But and so you know, you would talk to Matt about that. Say, hey, what's his name? Could you get him? And I think you would just call him and or email him and ask, or would that be us calling directly to Byer and saying, hey, could you? How would that work?
So if it's
with staff,
if it's something staff related, I mean, we could certainly do so. I mean, our job is to assist you all with creating, you know, the agenda and put forward what you'd like to do. To Councilmember Solomon's point earlier today, and really kind of these two agenda items here at the last end of the regular session is you guys crafting the way that you'd like it to move forward. So,
I make a motion to have that? I would make a motion to have you talk to staff to have a potential presentation.
So the way that I would envision it is, yes, we would identify specifically what the topic is, who the speaker would like to be, because those are the specifics then that Tobin was discussing, so that we can get those listed appropriately on a future agenda item.
Okay.
I'm gonna
talk so shall I make item. A motion?
Well,
it says here, possible action regarding regular presentation for educational purposes.
It's a different.
At this point in time, what you're actually discussing is, would you like to have regular presentations?
Whenever you got it.
So you should probably make a motion but to say, yeah, I'd like to have regular presentations for items we're interested in. And maybe direct staff to set that up for you on how that could be accomplished.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so is it appropriate at this moment to make a motion to...
Well, let's figure out the plan first, and let's make sure that everybody's good, on board with it.
Yep.
And then we'll take our first, and you can hit, you know, lead the way. So
do
you have any more thoughts on how we do this or proceed, or are you okay with it? And I'm just thinking like a 15-minute block so we don't wind up staying forever, you know? And then we can ask questions, you know, we have the discussion part, so that's...
So yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I think it would be helpful when we get to the next discussion on this to you know, the idea of designating folks is good, but also to have a collection of things that we want to address, because it may take some time to actually you know, get things lined up.
Well, sure.
Yeah. So I'm good with that. I think it's a good idea.
Any more discussion on that, Peter?
How would we, in essence, have a collection as the commission
office? Well, you could, what you could do is, I think, would designate a series of topics that you're interested in, and then we'll go through and staff can try and see if somebody's available during your next meeting.
Can we do that tonight, or we need to do that next time?
Well, you can. It says regarding regular presentation. Right now, what you're doing is you're just determining whether or not you want the regular presentation, and then the next time we can talk about the possible future meeting agenda.
Kind
of. You can bring forward some ideas you'd like
possible
to put
topics.
On.
Which I think is the best way to do that, so we kind of build that inventory a little bit about what we can bring forward for you all.
Is there a possibility, if we have agreement on a particular topic, to have it at the next meeting, just to expedite it a little bit?
Well, it says regarding regular presentation for educational purposes. So at this point, I would say no because of the way it was written. Sorry.
And
but I am perfectly okay with getting it set up. Yeah. Could we bring that up as a new agenda
yep.
Exactly.
For the next meeting?
Yes, because these last two agenda items on the regular session agenda were they were discussion last month. Now they're up here for action, listed similarly, so that we can move again, getting to the specifics and following.
We can make that a future agenda item.
Not right
now. So we can actually start next time.
Yeah.
Perfect. So right now we're good on doing this, and then do I have to make a motion for this kind of thing?
You should make a motion. You want to have a regular presentation.
Got it. So I move conduct these educational presentations at future HPC meetings.
Second.
Do I have a second? And Commissioner Pliego seconded. And then all in favor, we do vote, right? All in favor?
Aye.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Chair Lee, so the motion is to have regular educational presentations of no more than 15 minutes at each future meeting?
Yeah, presentation and discussion, yes, ma'am.
And discussion. Do you want the 15 minutes in there?
I don't. Do we need it? I mean, we want to keep it to 15 minutes.
I mean, it's up to you. Some may go longer, some may go shorter.
Can that be something we set at the time of the meeting?
Yeah.
We can just, and when we coordinate it, we say, hey, you know.
Okay. We don't want it 3 hours. But
oh, yeah. That's right.
Yes.
6.5 minutes.
Yeah.
At future meetings.
So at future meetings instead of each, just in case something happens and a presenter can.
I understand. Yeah. So should I reword what I just said, or can we fix it on?
Okay. I'll do it. Amend your motion to just say future. Does the second agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a friendly amendment. You're okay.
Amend the motion.
Thank you.
And Ms. Tolmie or Mr. Seidels, how do we handle we closed call to audience, but we have a card for item two.
It's entirely up to the chair whether or not you want to allow somebody to speak at this one. You can allow him to speak at this time if you want to.
Okay, and he gave me a heads up ahead of time. So, Mr. and I don't know how to handle this, but Mr. Loomis wants to comment on
this item
two. Mr. Loomis,
morning,
please state your name and whether you're. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I'm Paul Loomis. I'm a resident of Oro Valley, and I'm speaking as an individual. On tonight's agenda, you're talking about possible action regarding a regular presentation for educational purposes at future HPC meetings. Something else that I'd like you to consider as part of this item is to discuss and consider field trips and study sessions as the entire commission, not as individuals, and you can then get experts to talk to you about particular items that you're seeing. A prime example of this is the honeybee preserve. And you have one of the experts on the honeybee preserve right here with Council Member Solomon. And Well, he's given presentations to the board here in this room. It is much more memorable for that presentation to be given on site, and so that you can see what he's talking about when he talks about trash mounds, when he talks about the ball court, and the items that are in that reserve that nobody recognizes, nobody understands what they are. But he's an expert on it, so he would be a good person for it. Other opportunities are the petroglyphs and the village that was part of the Vistoso Golf Course Preserve now. Is that right now Parks and Rec is putting together a planning document and master plan for that preserve. There's significant historical elements in that preserve, and the commission should be involved in that. You all can have a study session, learn about it, and participate in this master plan. But I think that you should not just limit yourself to 15 minutes education on certain subjects. There's some elements that you can spend a whole day on, or at least a whole special meeting on, and where you do make it a study session where you're able to meet as a group and it doesn't violate your open meeting law or any of those things that your attorney was talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Regular session agenda item number 3 is discussion and possible action regarding the process to review the annual Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan. And I'm leading that one this evening. As we saw earlier, that's part of it's one of our requirements listed in the code, right? Is to, review those documents. So we have the Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan that needs to be reviewed. So I'm proposing that we sort of divvy it up in a way, and I'll just throw this out to get the discussion started, that, we all look at it, we all look through it, and that we take lead on a section of it, maybe lead in a sense that we've read it and we have our, ideas we want to, we found some things that need to be looked at or discussed, but by no means you'll be the lone person that would have read it or would be discussing that section. And that we kind of divvy it up in such a manner that we do as much of it as possible by the end of the year. I think we were looking at it and it would be a lot of work to get the whole thing done thoroughly by the end of the year, but if we get enough of it done that we're doing our due diligence, I think we'd be fine, right? In the eyes of the law?
Absolutely, Chair Lee. And I mean, ultimately, the task is to review the document. If you review it and there are very few changes, if any, that's certainly acceptable. The requirement is going through the exercise. And even last year, upon the review of that document, there were some grammatical changes that were made over time. There was not what I think anybody would consider substantial changes. So it's just the reviewing of that document. And yes, as long as we're timely with it, we have extended beyond the calendar. We prefer to stay within the calendar year to review and approve it. But it's like anything else, we can certainly work through that. And determining how you all want to break up the document and assign some of those tasks. I mean, you could do multiples, especially if there's not a lot of changes necessarily in each presentation. So,
and I'm not asking anybody to go through and be the grammarian or spelling. We're looking for things that that make sense, that need to be updated because the document was written so long ago and the reviews have been spotty, I think. I can't remember what we discovered. So, thoughts. Looking for thoughts on that one.
So, Deputy Director, what is your timeline? What is the staff's timeline for turnaround?
We honestly, just by the end of the year.
No, no, I understand that. So what does that mean, though? Does that mean like by beginning of September?
Yeah, the first meeting in December would be.
First meeting in December.
Our last meeting of the calendar year.
Oh, that's all you need.
We'd like to have it completed by.
Okay.
Yeah, we could certainly have it done sooner than that.
Okay.
But preferably it'd be completed.
And that meeting would be when we'd have to say, you know, that we approve all the changes. We wouldn't have to do it piecemeal, like every meeting approving pieces.
We do not have to do it piecemeal.
At the end, we say, hey, I move, we approve it. Whatever.
We could certainly do that. It's the desire of the commission, really, how you would like to tackle it.
Well, so I was staying with the chair's proposal here is to at least some initial review by the commission itself. And then, so my question was, how much time after that would we need to firm things up and complete the plan by the end of the year? Sorry if I was not clear.
Sure, no, okay. So I think as the review is done and discussion is had, as it's listed on the agenda, once changes are made, we can, you know, it would be like a motion, you know, essentially reviewing the document and explaining what you would like updated, make a motion, it be approved, and then that is done on our side as the staff making those changes.
So that's relatively quick still.
It is.
Okay.
You know,
not sweeping changes, so.
Well, and I mean, this is one of those things, too, where in reviewing this document, it references a lot of supporting documents. And digging into that, if it is the council's desire or recommendation that some of those studies or attention is paid to some of those reports, that then becomes additional things that can be done in future agenda meetings.
Right. So,
well,
I mean, in terms of last year's, mm-hmm. there was a lot of updating of digital references.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me, that was the biggest change in the plan, was updating those. So I assume staff did that, and the commission didn't do that.
Oh, we don't, no.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. That's done on our end.
Yeah, it's a staff document.
All right. So, I mean, that obviously it takes some time, right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
But I would not...
But our review is annual. I don't know that they're in a hurry to get it done. It's we have to review it annually, and then it gets any. I imagine if you went past the calendar year and making the updates, there's no harm, no foul, because we did the review, which is what is the required I'm speaking to, right?
As I understand it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Paul.
Yeah. So we stay with, yes, you did, but I say we stay with the schedule and aim for getting it done by the end of the year. I mean, it's, what is it, March? I think we have a little bit of time, so.
We don't meet for a couple of months, right?
So we could study when we're meeting.
Oh, you got
bigger chunks.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes, assuming that we have a quorum for every meeting and we're able to hold them, there is a two-month break for summer that we don't have meetings, so. If that was summer school, for lack of a term, for everybody coming back and reviewing that, again, that's totally up to you guys. We're here to help. But your changes or the review of the document, I would not anticipate it being a very laborious or time consuming effort on staff's part in order to do that.
Okay, so it'd be mostly then back with the commission. In other words, if each of us looks at our pieces, then we bring it back to the group. Review that, you know, the way the meetings work, that takes a little bit of time. Not the actual meeting, but the meeting schedules, that will take some time. So I favor it. I think it's a good thing to do. Yeah. I'll take whatever section nobody else wants.
Commissioner Kennedy, Kasowski has thoughts. And then, so now that we've discussed it, at the next meeting, we come up with the plan.
Well, you can direct staff to bring a plan back to you with sections and just assign each of you, and then you can horse trade once you get here.
That just got easier. So then can we do that? Can you just kind of, well, yeah.
Can the two of you do that?
Just to chop it up.
Coordinate.
Like, here's the even parts. And then we just figure out, okay, great, here's who we are.
Yeah, after the five or six.
Yeah, just something that makes sense. And then
you talked to him, right?
Yeah. I was answering your question. Yeah, yes, I think he could do that, no problem.
All right.
Yes.
And I will now.
That's up to him.
I want to make sure that we are good with everything.
I am good.
So I'm looking at the reading, the wording.
You made a motion to direct staff to bring it back, but you got to vote on it.
So I'm gonna do the motion right now.
Okay.
I move that we begin our review of the annual, or begin our annual review of the Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan. Period. I don't think I have to add anything to that, do I? I don't have to say.
You want to direct staff to bring something back at the next meeting.
Oh, I can do that right now with this one, not separately?
Because of the way this is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I move that we review the, we conduct our annual review of the Oro Valley Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan, and that staff, what's a good word, divides it up into manageable sections to meet our timeline.
Second.
Oh, and do I have a second? Thank you, Commissioner Plake. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
May I ask if staff can make a hard copy for me, or if I shall make it on my own? Like a double-sided hard copy for me to put in a notebook?
Of the document?
Yes.
Yes, we can provide that, certainly.
Thank you. I'll just get it at the April meeting.
Sure, absolutely.
The next item is a department update by Mr. Jankowski.
Thank you, Chair and Commission members. Aside from dodging a wet and snowy, as it turned out, February, the events that the department held were extremely well attended. The Oro Valley Off the Vine Wine Festival had roughly 2,500 attendees as the brand for that event that day. And the Move Across Two Ranges event sold out at 350 participants. It was a great event. Again, that's a partnership event between the town of Oro Valley and the town of Marana to hike the Tortolitas as well as the Catalina Mountains. So it was a very successful event.
I clicked on the button too late. It was said sold out.
It sells out every year. We are looking to see about the possibility of being able to expand that. That program started out 10 years ago with about 40 participants, and since the first one we've raised the capacity each year, and it always sells out. So we were very happy with that. March got off to a little bit of a chilly start with the first Friday concert series. Last Friday it was cold. So the well attended events in February gave way to a not so well attended first Friday concert, but that's certainly okay and understandable. Some upcoming events for this month, and really touching a little bit on April. Regular second Saturday taking place out at the ranch. We also have an archery expo day on the 25th of March at the Naranja Park Archery Range, and we have our Easter extravaganza event at JDK Park on the 1st of April.
And no snow for that, right?
Hopefully not. We're done with the snow. It's nice to look at. The barbecue and bunkhouse project over at Steam Pump Ranch is set to begin on this Thursday, 3-9, on site. The construction estimate for completion is at the end of June of this summer. So, fingers crossed, things do go to plan. That will be wonderful to add those to our inventory. The work will convert the barbecue back into its original open front with an indoor space, a small kitchenette, and a small storage area inside of the building. The bunkhouses will be converted. One of them will be converted into a public restroom because restrooms are a bit lacking at the ranch, especially when it comes to larger events. While the other bunkhouse will be used as a bit of a adaptable multi-use space. We do have a number of special events and private rentals that take place out there on the property. A lot of weddings. We don't have, well, until we opened the garage earlier at the start of this year, we did not have what you could consider a powder room or a green room, either for entertainment or for brides who are on site to get ready in. So that is the idea behind the work that's going to be done out there to those buildings. The town of Oro Valley has worked with the Oro Valley Historical Society to identify items within these buildings that they'd like to keep, that they have historical significance in. We've been working with them since, I would say, a little bit after the first of the year, and taking multiple trips and going through the buildings and locating items that they would like to keep and preserve. And we've also had discussions about programming and what the Historical Society would be interested in offering in conjunction with the department in an effort to increase our senior offerings. The Oro Valley Aquatic Center reopened on the
13th. I'm sorry, Matt, what does that mean? Increase our senior offerings.
Increase educational opportunities.
Okay.
That was one of the things that came back from our senior survey. That was very highly desired. So that's a natural partnership we already have within the town and with the Historical Society. The Oro Valley Aquatic Center reopened on the 13th of February and has received many positive comments from our returning members. We still have a little bit of construction work left to be done, which includes the roof structure above the expansion of the pump house. But the facility is open and operational. We've already held two special events there since that time. And again, we've received very positive comments from external visitors as well as our regular memberships coming back to the facility. That project experienced about a two-week delay from our original opening date. It was closed for about 2.5 months, but everything was installed and completed as planned, despite the bit of a delay. The Community and Recreation Center received new strength and circuit equipment. At the beginning part of last week, we replaced all of the strength and circuit equipment that was inherited by the town when they purchased the property over there, and those items were not new when we purchased that property. So a lot of that equipment was bordering on 20 to 25 years old. So we've got all new equipment in there, and again, have received very appreciative comments from the membership and staff as well. Everybody is very, very happy with that change.
When did the town get that property?
The town purchased the property in 2015.
Oh, that's recent.
And the equipment was not old enough to be historical.
It was not. Yeah, it did not meet that.
Missed that one.
Just a year off.
But if anybody has fond memories, it will be going up on the surplus auction website. So they can make their purchase there if they would like. And then the last item I have is just a reminder, Celebrate Oro Valley will be held out at Steam Pump Ranch on April 8th from 8 a.m. to noon. Entertainment is being finalized this week, but there is one item with regards to HPC members. In the past, HPC members have worked a booth out there to drum up interest in historic preservation and explain what the HPC does. We have a number of town departments who take place in the special event and are out there as well. There's numerous booths out there. So if that's a desire of members from the HPC, if you would please let me know, we can get you guys scheduled. We can get you set up with a table and chairs and booth and some signage and some things to hand out. So if that's something that would be the desire of some of you as members.
April 8th?
April 8th.
Yeah, I'll if nobody else will, and even if someone else will, I'll volunteer.
Just contact him.
I will. Matt, yeah, I'll contact you.
I'll do that with you, Michael.
All right, Jill.
All right, that will complete my monthly department report. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Jankowski. The next item is future agenda items. The commission may bring forth general topics for any future meeting agenda. Commission may not discuss, deliberate, or take any action on the topics presented pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H. Do we have any items to add to a future agenda? I think you said earlier you wanted to...
I can't remember.
It was the educational series, the planning member.
Okay, was I going to make an action of motion to have a specific presentation?
Yes.
I make a motion to have a presentation on the church expansion in consideration of the public request for historic... I'll just make a motion to have a presentation about the Church of the Nazarene expansion. Is that...
From the planning department, right?
From staff.
Okay.
So that we can be more knowledgeable about, you know, that period.
it's going to have what you said, but in the historical context.
To ask staff for a presentation regarding OVCN expansion as it relates to historic significance.
No, yes. I second that.
Do we need to have possible action if we want to make a recommendation?
Yes, you do.
and possible action.
Well, this is for the Ed series, the presentation and discussion thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what action we would take on a rezone.
As a result of the presentation,
you could put an action item after, you would have the presentation and discussion, and then you would have a separate item as an action item. If you want to make a recommendation and you want to do something else.
I don't think that we would have enough knowledge yet to make a recommendation, but maybe another presentation.
Unless you wanted to put that on there, if you had something in mind.
As far as recommendations would go, where would we direct a recommendation based on the historical information received from said presentation?
Would that be to council?
It would probably be to council. You would pass on the recommendation to council.
Via council member Solomon?
Yeah.
Or?
You could write something up.
I see.
Well, I would like to see the presentation as part of this discussion. I'd like to see the presentation and absorb it a little bit and think about it, maybe discuss it, and then perhaps make a motion to take an action.
So you don't want
at the time.
That next one?
True.
Okay.
That's presentation and discussion.
That's your motion. Okay.
That's my motion.
Okay.
And I seconded that. Okay.
Just to clarify, to ask staff for presentation and discussion regarding OVC expansion as it relates to historic significance. Does that work?
Yes. I make that motion.
Okay.
He seconds it.
Okay. Okay. So that one's on.
Do we have to?
And all in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's work on more literacy.
And then, so that's future agenda items. Any more discussion? Seeing no further business, I would like to make a motion to adjourn at 6:27 p.m. May I have a second?
Second.
I'm just waiting to make sure she's good.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.